Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Killing to save the babies. And the way we do that by coming together, tonight I want you to read Psalms 57 and Psalm 50, and I want to deal with hell, the devil and his demons and his warlocks. And most other churches don't deal with witchcraft and deal with evil. I'm seeing white magic work all over the world. And I'm going to deal with that. I'm working on my book for 2024. One of my prophecies in the book, there will be a wide awakening of people of the world. And we'll be able to see some of the action in 2024. Don't forget to ask for my book. It'll be out in December. And I got the book. I got one book here I wrote. Some people got it. It's called Mary, the Miracles of Jesus. And I want you to know the miracles of Jesus. You find out the miracles of what's going on with our families.
Sitting there, it hit me, you know, like, I know what the problem is. I'm in one of the gates of hell. I said, man, it hit me today. What the problem is? I am in one of the gates of hell, and it's okay. It helps me better understand why I'm here. There's a verse in the biblical text that describes the critical state of resistance and opposition that confronts not just this movement, any liberation movement. What does that mean? Understand, brothers and sisters, if people are not free, it's because something or someone put them in a condition of enslavement. You follow what I'm saying? That's not something that happens easily. It takes strategy. It takes planning. It takes money. It even takes blood to put a people into captivity. Then comes along a person or a movement or an act of God or a move of God to set people free from the enslavement that they have been put into. Well, the powers that be are going to all-out retaliate against anything or anyone that was set free the people that they put in bondage. In this verse of the Bible, a metaphorical black nationalist revolutionary known as Jesus in the biblical text says the following. Now, before I go any further, why did I use the word metaphor? Y'all know what a metaphor is, right? Okay, it's not literal. It's not historical. But it's put there for a lesson to be learned. In the biblical text, and do y'all know why I said black nationalist revolutionary? Okay, just think for a moment. Look at the geographical location of all the stuff that happened supposedly in the biblical text. It's not up in Italy. It's not in Germany. It's not in Russia. It's not up in the Netherlands. It's not up in Canada. It's in Northeast Africa. Even in the biblical perspective, that's the geographical location. Well, Pastor, I did agree with you on that one now. Actually, it was in Canaan. So that I can help educate you. Canaan, what we now know today as Canaan and Palestine, was all Africa. It did not become Canaan or Palestine until the white man built the Suez Canal. You see, and now they got us, they really got us messed up. And even though they built the Suez Canal to try to disconnect it from Africa, they're actually telling people now that land masses in Africa is no longer Africa, it's now the Middle East. Look at the person next to you, they wake up. In this verse of scripture in Matthew 16 and 18, it says these words, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How many of y'all heard that before? Yeah, come on, y'all, come on. Now, how many of y'all heard that? Let me ask that again. I'm sorry, y'all make taking notes. I'm sorry, go ahead and take notes. Okay, all right. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's from the King James Version. Let's see how it reads from the Message Version. "This is the rock on which I will put together my church." Now this is deeper. "A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Yeah. So that you understand, let's look at an analysis of this situation so that we can see its meaning and application. Brothers and sisters, I could stand up here and lecture for 3 hours, and after I do all that talking if you don't understand what I said, and if you cannot apply it to your life, I wasted 3 hours of your time. You follow what I'm saying? So let's look at this for meaning and application. Firstly, let's take a look at the so-called socio-political environment of that time. We're not talking the 20th century, even though, believe it or not, things have not changed much. And you'll see why in a minute. The people involved in this metaphor were under the rule of a Hellenistic way of life. Okay, Pastor, what is that? I told you I'm going to school today, okay? The term Hellenistic or Hellenism means the spreading of what culture? One more time, what culture? Greek culture over non-Greek people. That's what Hellenism is. The spreading of Greek culture over non-Greek people. Are there any Greeks in the room? Are you sure? All right, I want to be sure that you know that you ain't a Greek. Now, really deep about it, some of y'all say, no, I ain't no Greek, but I'm a Gentile. Not realizing you just called yourself the same thing. Secondly, the people, the targeted group of people here had been deculturalized. Now, remember I just said about application? All right? Y'all are non-Greeks. We as black people have been deculturalized. We have been Europeanized. Remember, and I think it was last week's message, you saw in the Christianizing of Africa where it said, in order to Christianize the Africans, it is necessary to what? Y'all remember? To Europeanize them. We've been forced to worship pagan gods and to take on the Greek way of life. Now, Pastor, what is your support for saying such a thing? That's why I told you to bring your Maccabees today. I told you to bring today the very group of books that they removed from the Bible. And the reason why they removed it from the Bible is so you won't know what you're getting ready to read right now. I got to set you free, baby. In Maccabees, 1 Maccabees. Now, those of you who do not have the Maccabees, or actually it's called the Deuterocanonical. Write it down so you can go by it. Deutero, D-E-U-T-E-R-O. That's Deutero, dash, canonicals. C-A-N-O-N-I-C-A-L-S. That is the theological term, the Deuterocanonicals. It's also called the Apocrypha, or Apocryphal writings. Now, I ain't going to get that. My pastor told me that those books are satanic. What better way to keep you from the truth than to tell you that it's evil? Y'all hear what I'm saying? The Apocrypha, by the way, the word Apocrypha doesn't mean bad. It simply means hidden. That's all it means. In the apocryphal writings that used to be, now check out how deep, let me show you what theology did to us. And those of you who have been to Bible school or Bible college or you've been to Sunday school in a period of time, you can bear witness to what I'm getting ready to tell you. We were taught that between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, 400 years where God didn't speak to man. years. And when they told me that, I said, you mean tell me for 4 centuries God didn't speak to nobody? Something about that don't sound right. But hey, listen, I couldn't refute it because I didn't know any better. So guess what, y'all? I accepted what they said by faith. You got it? Period of 400 years. And then, of course, as I began to do my homework, I found out that there is a collection of books that they removed out of that collection of books. And it's called the Deuterocanonicals. But the reason why they said this is a period of 400 years where God didn't speak is because there's information in here that cancels out the whole thing. So the best way to do it is get rid of those books. We can't let them see the evidence that we got a monkey wrench in our machinery. Am I making sense, y'all? Y'all all right? All right, now let me know if I'm walking too heavy. I'll have for 5 seconds for you. Soften it up. See, I don't know if y'all ever listened to Dick Gregory. That's an awesome brother. But see, Dick Gregory knows that we can't handle the truth. All right, so if you notice, Dick Gregory say something real heavy, then he'll come back with comedy to make you laugh. And then after you laugh and you feel a little bit better after what he just dropped on you, he'll come back and use some more fun. And you see, that's the best way, you come back with some more comedy, you know. And so that's how, see, I don't know how to vacillate between comedy and hard or comedy and hard. So just bear with me. I ain't got time to be comical right this minute. Got to drop it on you. I got to drop it like a cop. Maccabees, the first chapter, and I'm going to read very quickly through this for the sake of time, because this is a lot of the text of Maccabees. Anyone have First Maccabees, you can follow along with me in your Bible. It may be a slightly different version, okay? But here's what it says. First verse. After Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian. Stop right there. Look at the person next to you and say, that's the first reason why they took this out of the Bible. What you saying, Pastor? What you saying? If they had left this in the biblical text, it would have created a problem. You know why? Because we are talking now history. Not religion. We're talking historical facts right now. See, and this is the only passage of the collection of the biblical text that can be ruled as historical fact. Alexander and a few others that we talk about, Darius and Antiochus Epiphanes and Jason and Onias, all of these people actually existed. So that's a monkey wrench in the machinery because nobody else in the biblical text historically existed. So it doesn't match. So they had to remove this from the biblical text. How many of y'all seen the movie Alexander? They've been playing this thing like crazy, too. All right. After Alexander, son of Philip the Macedonian, who came from the land of Kism, had defeated Darius, king of the Persians and the Medes, he succeeded him as king. Second verse. He fought many battles, conquered strongholds, and put to death the kings of the earth. Third verse. He advanced to the ends of the earth and plundered many nations. And they even show that in the movie, okay? When the earth became quiet before him, or when he conquered everything that was in sight, he was exalted or got beside himself, and his heart was lifted up. Fourth verse, he gathered a very strong army and ruled over countries, nations, and princes, and they became tributary to him. Fifth verse, after this, he fell sick and perceived that he was dying. Right? If you saw the movie, you saw all that. Sixth verse. So he summoned his most honored officers who had been brought up with him from youth and divided his kingdom among them while he was still alive. Seventh verse. And after Alexander had reigned 12 years, he died. Eighth verse. Then his officers began to rule, each in his own place. Ninth verse. They all put on crowns after his death, and so did their sons after them for many years. And check out this part, y'all. And they caused many evils on the earth. This is history I'm reading here. Temper. From them came forth a sinful root. Everybody say, Antiochus Epiphanes. Remember that name. Son of Antiochus the king. He had been a hostage in Rome. He began to reign in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks, which we say is somewhere around, that's what CA circa stands for, 195 BCE. Almost 2 centuries BCE. Now, don't mean before Christ, y'all. It means before the common era. Okay? Now, how did you come up with 195, Pastor Ray? Because if you know your history, you know that Alexander the Greek, not the Greek, Alexander the Greek invaded Africa in 332 BCE. I'm making sense, family. Y'all all right? Y'all am not going to school with me now, do you? Come on. Y'all ain't gonna fail this course. If you subtract 137 years from 332 BCE, you come up with 195 BCE. Now, the first, in those days, and here's where it starts getting deep, y'all. You say, okay, what does that got to do with us? Here it is. You're talking about the Greek invasion of Africa. Everybody say the Greek invasion of Africa. Yes. Now, here you got this dude, almost 2 centuries later, ruling Africans. You had Africans who knew their past, who wanted to be faithful to the teachings of their ancestors and the way they were raised. But just like in everything else, you will have a group of sellouts. It says, in those days, lawless men came forth from Israel. Now, why did I put Africa there? In the text, it says Israel, and that's because this was written by Jews. Because if you get my lecture on the illegitimacy of a people called the Jews, you see that before the 6th century A.D., there were no Jews. So if there were no Jews before the 6th century A.D., then what people are just talking about? It's talking about the Northeast African people. Y'all with me? These sellout Africans misled many, saying, read what they said. So what did I say? Am I making it up? Who got the Maccabees? Can y'all bear witness what I'm saying? Is it there? Let us go. Some of your readings may say, let us come to terms with the Gentiles or with the heathen. Y'all getting this? Why? For since we separated from them, since we're trying to maintain our identity as Africans, since we're trying to hold on to who we are, many evils have come upon us. Please, then, and some of the people, some Africans, eagerly went to the king, and he authorized them to observe the ordinances of the Gentiles, or the Greeks, the Greco invasion. Y'all learning? All right. When you leave out of here today, I want you to say, I learned something today. Whether I liked it or not, I learned something today. People, so they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to Gentile custom. Check this 15th verse out now. And these Africans removed the marks of circumcision and abandoned their holy ways. Isn't it there in your text? How to, brothers, how do you put back? What was cut away so that you can look like the white man? See, circumcision of all these things in African things. You have to understand that. If you go over to the chemist, you'll see the signs in the walls of the circumcision pyramid. They've been circumcised in Africa for thousands of years. But the Greeks were uncircumcised. But so that these black men could fit in with these Greeks, they removed the marks of circumcision. I've been trying to figure that one out. And notice this next part. What did they do? They joined, which actually means intermarried with the Gentiles and sold themselves to Greeks. Now we're talking miscegenation. This is when the defiling of fellows began in Africa. 41st verse. Jump down to 41st verse. Then the king wrote his own kingdom and said what? That all people should be one people. Multiculturalism. That's what we're going to call it today, okay? Now here's the thing about it. The king wrote and said all people should be one people. What does that mean? Do you really mean that we should be one, or do you care about our, what you're really saying is you want everybody to take on Greek ways? That's what you're saying. You ain't really saying you want us to be one. What you're saying is you want us to give up our culture and take on your culture. 42nd verse, and that each should give up his custom. That is right there. 43rd verse, all the Gentiles accepted the command of the king, and many even from the Africans gladly adopted his what? I didn't write this. It's right there in the text. Now you see why they took it out of the Bible. It tells you what happened. A religion of the Greeks that was forced upon us. For the sake of peace, for the sake of getting, can't we all just get along? They sacrificed the idols and profaned the Sabbath. 44 verse, and the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. He directed them to follow customs that were strange to them. 48 verse, they were to make themselves abominable or ritually unclean, your text might say, by every unclean and profane, everything unclean and profane. Notice, why were they to do this? 49 verse, what does it say? So that they would forget the law and change all these ordinances. How many of us have forgotten? And you know why we've forgotten? Because we were born into a lie. You never knew the truth in the first place. Now, here's what I love about Africans. When you hear the truth, your genetic memory banks say, yes, that's it. Even though you don't theologically agree with it, something inside you says, something about that sounds right. But notice the 50th verse, for the sake of control. And whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. Jumping over to 2 Maccabees 4, 13 through 16, it goes on to say, in the 13th verse, there was such an extreme of Hellenization. Another way to remember Hellenism or Hellenization, look at the person that can say, say hell on earth. That's another way to remember Hellenism. There was such an extreme of Hellenization and increase in the adoption of foreign ways. 14th verse. That's the priest. Y'all hear? You with me? Africans adopted the Gentile ways so deeply that the preachers were no longer intent upon their service at the altar. Now, of course, that's how just changed around calling the priest. What you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the people whom God has called to be the messengers of truth got so concerned with being in good with the Greek powers and the politicians that they forsook their responsibility to take a stand for righteousness. And Acts says in 15 verse, that the priest, disdaining or forsaking the honors or conditions prized by their ancestors, they began to put the highest value upon Greek forms of prestige. And guess what, y'all? I see it and I encounter it every day. Black people who esteem European values higher and above African values. Can I get a witness? Here's the result, though. 16th book.
What he's saying, black folks have turned away from our ancestors and God and adopted the white folks' way. That's why we are behind in Chicago, Mississippi, Arkansas, throughout the world, because we have strayed away from the teaching of God and the teaching of our ancestors. That is the problem right now as I speak tonight. With so many are in jail, and so many are sick, and so many got AIDS and on drugs, because we, our leadership has strayed away from God and our ancestors. We have adopted somebody else's way, not the way of our ancestors. That's what Dr. Ray is talking about tonight, and I thought you need to hear. We in the valley of hell. Deborah Ann, give me a call. Lois, give me a call. Pat, give me a call. I'm getting ready to come that way, and I need to hear from you. I'm going back to Dr. Ray.
Because they took on Greek ways, and then to top it off, the ministers were so programmed to preach Greek theology that the ministers became the number one instrument in the powerlessness of their own people. For this reason, can y'all see the application of it? Because you can't see the application, it's meaningless. For this reason, heavy disaster overtook them. And those Greeks whose ways of living they admired and wished to imitate completely became their enemies and punished them. He who fails to remember history is doomed to repeat it. It happened once. You better wake up. These people lived in this condition for more than 10 generations. How long? For more than 10 generations. Now, so, Pastor, what does that mean? It means that generation number one, who first began to experience this Greek invasion, they resisted it. Generation number two resisted it. Generation number three, the resistance wasn't quite as strong. Generation number four, the resistance was even less. By the time it got to generation number seven and eight, there was no resistance to the Greek way of life at all. By the time we got to the tenth generation, Africans were more Greek than the Greeks. Y'all follow what I'm saying, people? two centuries BCE. We're talking over 2,000 years ago. So if by 195 BCE, there was no more resistance hardly to the Greek way of life, how do you think we're doing now? So the reigning generation of the people of that time thought that the way things were was the way things were supposed to be. They had acclimated themselves into a culture that was, what's that word, y'all? Antithetical. For those who don't know what it means adverse and hostile. Antithetical to their own culture. This resulted in extreme degradation and self-destruction. Here's why we're in the shape we're in, folks. Can I make a sense, people? I'm trying to get you to see this with every ounce of blood and energy that I have. Occasionally, now here's the deep thing, occasionally, because of the trust that the Greco-Roman government placed in certain ones, or certain Africans, those who demonstrated loyalty to their oppressor, a few of the oppressed would escalate up the political ladder by appointment. In other words, every now and then the Roman government would get a black mayor. Every now and then the Roman government of that day would get a black congressman or a black senator so that the Africans could really think that they're moving on up. It blows my mind how the city council of our major cities today, almost 90% African. But the government of the city is 100% European. Some form of, y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Well, within this Hellenistic society, those are called Nicodemuses. Y'all been taught to call them Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus. Y'all know who Nicodemus was in the Bible? In the Bible, Nicodemus is a metaphorical representative of a black person who has been appointed to be a ruler over his own people for the oppressor. That's what the word Nicodemus means. It means a ruler of the people for the oppressor. And if you look in the Bible, it says there was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the people, who came to Jesus by night. By night. Get away from it. pneumatosis. Pneumatosis means a state or condition of someone's spirit at a given time. It is imperative, family, that we understand that the effect of Hellenism upon African people is that of intrapersonal. And when I say intra, I mean how you are dealing with yourself internally. Some of us are so intrapersonally messed up that the world around us is messed up from our perspective. People who are having an intrapersonal problem look around and everybody look at everybody suspect. What you looking at? That's the person who got an internal problem. Domestic and political mayhem resulting in a chaotic social environment characterized by disorder. See the application. By disorder, broken families, criminal activity, political corruption, self and other destruction. History bears record repeatedly that whenever a people, a community, or a society reaches such a point of disorder and imbalance, and this is what I love about God, God always sends a messenger to those people, or to that community, or to that society, with a clear message as to their state of affairs. And that's why the messenger that God sends cannot afford to allow him or herself to become contaminated with politics. You can't do it and stay free to say what God told you to say. Read this with me. Now, as loud as you can, what does it say? When God sends a messenger to a people, it is only because the condition of those people is reaching or already in a critical state. Stop right there and think about it. That's what the Bible means when it says they that are sick are the ones that need a physician. Read the next line. What does it say? God sends messengers into hell to set the captives free. I love my assignment. What are the gates of hell? That's what you want to know. Gates, let's do it etymologically. Let's break it down for you. It comes from the root Pule. That's how it's pronounced. It means the access or entrance into any place or environment or realm made for the purpose of doing what? Keeping out anything that will threaten the stability of that environment. Y'all got that? When the Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the ecclesia. We've all been raised to think that that means that the messengers and the demons of hell are going to attack the church. That's how we've heard it, isn't it? Hell, from Hades, means the place of the dead. I'm reminded of the success now. I see dead people. Only thing is, they don't know they're dead. That's the heaviest line in that movie, man. Who are the gatekeepers? The gatekeepers are those who are charged with the responsibility of guarding the gates from penetration by those who would threaten the place that the gates were set up to protect. Well, Pastor Still, who is that? They are to see to it that no one and nothing enters into or passes through those gates. Therefore, guess y'all thought I was going to say somebody's name, didn't you? Anyone who would protect and defend the lock is a gatekeeper. Anyone who would protect and defend a program that was given to us by the oppressor to keep us in hell is a gatekeeper. Anyone who would protect and defend and ward off those who are trying to set our people free from the realm that they're maintained in and the necromantic state of the gatekeeper. Now, I'm going to drop some heads on you. Gatekeeper might be your mama. Gatekeeper might be your daddy. A gatekeeper might be your best friend. A gatekeeper might be your pastor. If they are defending the law, you hear me? There are many items that one might use in battle. Swords, guns, catapults, missiles, gates, tanks, moat. Y'all know what a moat is? It's like a body of water that surrounds the fortress, etc. Some are offensive weapons used primarily to attack one's enemy. Some are defensive weapons used to defend oneself from an enemy's attack. Swords and guns are what kind of weapons? Offensive weapons. Thank you. Moats around the perimeter is a defensive weapon. It is designed to keep the enemy from getting to us. What kind of weapon is a gate? That's right. It's a defensive weapon. As a part of a wall, it is primarily a defensive weapon, even though it can be opened to let out the offensive forces. A gate keeps attackers out. See this? A gate keeps attackers out. So if the gates of hell cannot prevail or prevent the church from doing its assignment, then that must mean that the church will mount a successful offense against the power of evil. Now, don't get too carried away, but you need to be clear on what the word church means. There it is, ecclesia. So we can be assured every now and then. Remember I did the message, mission is possible? Every now and then, y'all, when I run into dedicated ignorance, sometimes I feel like I'm going up against a steel wall, not even a brick wall, a steel wall. A gate. But ecclesia, those who have been called out to a particular purpose or a movement, will prevail over all adverse circumstances. Those who are hiding behind the gates of ignorance, those who are hiding behind this gate called racism, those who are hiding behind this gate called injustice, and then you've got sellout gatekeepers protecting their programs. What it's saying is, no matter how much they try to maintain that environment, it's coming down. That's why God sends the messenger into hell to set the captive free. The church savior will overcome anything the devil may raise in defense against it. In other words, it is not merely that the church or the movement, that's what church means, will endure, but more positively that it will overtake what hell seeks to keep from it. Don't give up. Focus. Look at the person next to you and say, focus. Now, what are you focusing on? Look at the person next to you and say, my assignment. You've heard me say this before, I say it again. In the Marines, in the military, you have something called an MOS. MOS is an acronym which means your military occupational specialty. What is your MOS in the service?